Welcome to Hope-Filled Conversations, where we explore the truths and hope found in God's Word.
Welcome back to Hope-Filled Conversations. I'm Jody.
And I'm Carolyn.
And oh my gosh, Carolyn, we're here. This is the last episode of our Thessalonians series.
I know. And because it's the last one, we have to fill y'all in of what we're going to do in the coming month.
We finally get to announce.
Okay, we're excited. First of all, we're going to start off with some sad news. Not sad, but a little bit. There are going to be no new episodes of Hopeful Conversations in the months of July and August.
That's right.
But don't worry. We're going to be back in September with the study of the book of Exodus.
Yay! Y'all. I want that celebration sound going on.
We need clapping or something. I know. We're so excited. The book of Exodus in the Old Testament, which is going to be, we focused a lot of time in the New Testament, which has been wonderful, but we're excited for a study in the Old Testament. And my goodness, I've been studying Exodus already.
Yeah, I love the Old Testament.
It's going to be so good. I've only covered the first few chapters just in my personal study. And I just want to take it really slow. It's so good. I think it's going to be a really special
time. There's so many life applications, and there's so many obvious points about who God is.
Yes.
And just to get a glimpse of really that we can't get an idea of really who God is at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just his ways are so not our ways.
And it's so foundational to our faith. It gives us a really good historical background of Israel and all that, you know. We'll talk about Moses. We'll talk about all these different things. But it's going to be so good. And I think it's going to be so transformative in our lives as y'all join us in studying Exodus together. That will be in September, so y'all get ready.
Make sure you subscribed if you haven't already.
Yes, because we'll miss y'all in July and August, but we needed a little time to prepare for Exodus. We're really excited about
it. Hey, Carolyn, you know, I want to ask our friends listening right now, if you followed us through Thessalonians, we'd love to have a review on that. Write us a review on maybe one takeaway or just what maybe God has revealed to you, or how maybe you've grown in this, or how it may be something feeling like, I don't know, but just something. Leave us a review.
Well, we'd love to imagine y'all open up your Bibles with us and joining us in that study.
So I'm gonna live in my imaginary land as long as I can.
It's so good to hear from you, because we sit in this room and talk, and we're loving our study of God's Word together. But we'd love
we just
to
get
know.
To pour it out what we've been, you know, drinking in.
So. Yes. So, but join us for Exodus, y'all, in in September. We're so excited. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. No. All right, let's dive into our last chapter, our last verses of 2 Thessalonians.
Just to remind us that in the previous passages, Paul reminds the believers in Thessalonica. That those in Christ will bear transformed lives. Here I go, I'm still struggling. I did not. Anyway. But he prays for them. He asks for prayer. And we talked a little bit about that. And then also, he reminds them that God's love for them and of how deep and wide that is.
Yeah.
And not to grow weary in doing the work. And so that, which dovetails a little bit where we're going in today. We're going to dive into the last part, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 through 18. And I will start off in verse 6 and end in 11. And Carolyn, if you don't mind taking it from there. It reads, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies.
And then in verse 12, now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with them, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And there's the end. Back in Thessalonians.
Yeah.
But my goodness, there's so much there. What stood out to me, first of all, is the talk of idleness, which we'll talk a lot about as we discuss our questions that we chose today. But the talk of warning against idleness and being on guard as believers against idleness, not being busy doing work of the Lord, but just sitting and dwelling in our salvation, which we should rejoice in our salvation, but that's not an excuse just to sit and say, we're good now. We've got to be busy about doing the work that the Lord's called us to. And then he goes on to talk about working quietly and earning their own living. And, he talks about how he has set this example and how others like Silas and Timothy and have all set this example in the way that they work and that we should follow their example. And again, it reminded me, if y'all remember way back in Hebrews, if you've been listening Hebrews 11, when we talked about the hall of faith with all these different believers that are listed there, we talked about a man named Enoch, who we don't know a lot about, but we know that he lived a quiet life that served the Lord. We don't know, he didn't build an ark like Noah. We don't know that he did some grand thing, but we know that he was a servant of the Lord, and the Lord rewarded him by taking him to heaven before he even died. And so we don't know, again, a lot about him or if he did anything grand or, but we know that he was a servant of the Lord. He might have been a behind-the-scenes servant of the Lord, but what we do know about him is that he lived a life that pleased the Lord, and that's how we should live as believers, not to draw attention to ourselves or to aspire to do anything grand or, again, to draw attention to ourselves, but to aspire to live quietly and serve the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, back in 1 Thessalonians, Paul reminded them again of this, and it says, and aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. Again, he's saying, I've set this example, follow my example in it. Mm-hmm. And then in 1 Peter 3:4, it says, but let your adorning be in the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. So we know that God values that, that quiet, hard work.
That humility. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was sitting over thinking about, it's all about the heart motive behind what we do.
Absolutely.
We do want to shine the light of Christ through us. And so to do our work is not to cover it with the basket on a hill. I can't think of that verse. The lamp on the hill, like that. We're to shine for him.
Yes.
And that's the point for him.
Yes.
So in what we do to glorify him and do as unto him.
Yes. And I think it's a great way to show others the gospel, the way we live a quiet life, not drawing attention to ourselves or doing things to...
Well, it makes me think of Moses when he came down from the mountain after spending time with God, and he had the Shekinah glory upon him. And it was just obvious that he'd been with the Lord.
Right.
And, No, that's good. That's good, Carolyn. I love that.
Wow.
So, we haven't even gotten into the question.
No, we haven't. I know. We're just talking about those verses.
Well, I'm going to read it here. Yeah. Our first question is, what is the connection between spiritual rest and our relationship with Christ and the pursuit of productive work? And we mentioned this a little bit on our previous episode, but in Christ we have that peace that we can rest in, that security of our hope, knowing that Christ has finished the work on the cross for us.
Yes.
And we can rest in the saving grace for eternity.
So, and knowing that our works don't save us. That's I think that's where sometimes we get confused
Amen.
With rest and busyness or rest and working for the Lord. We mm-hmm. get those confused. Mm-hmm. Our work does not save us.
That's right.
Christ saves us, so we can rest in that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so, you know, as cross followers, we're actually to pursue our work with good work ethics that yes. ultimately shine a light on our relationship with Christ. So yeah. basically, so others can know our peace is not a false peace. It's a yes. secure peace, and it's an eternal peace that we have. And having God's peace and grace gives us the stability, the security that we need to, as we encounter those difficult times
yes.
in life. And one of the beautiful scriptures I want to read to us kind of reflects that a little bit about from Psalms 121, yeah. where David was talking about this. And I'm just going to read it right here. It reads, "I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. The Lord protects you. The Lord is a shelter right by your side. And the sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all harm. He will protect your life. The Lord will protect your coming and going, both now and forever."
Yeah. That just summarizes the security, right?
Mm-hmm.
It again points to God's work. God is the one that secures us. Our work does not secure us. And so mm-hmm. I think when we consider rest and then we consider work, we have to think about that our work mm-hmm. is just an overflow of what God has done in us. It's a way to demonstrate our love for Him, our obedience for Him, and demonstrate Him to the world. But that work does not save us. Trusting in the Lord saves us. And
right.
so we have that security. But then with that security, we don't need to sit in it and mm-hmm. just say, okay, I'm saved. I'm good. We're just going to live life.
It's an act of rest.
Right, right. It's yeah. yes, yes. It's security and salvation. And then that security should cause us to want to work for the Lord, mm-hmm. be busy about
it's an opportunity to just be a light in our community and in our workforce. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think it's so important as believers to remember that we have been invited by the Lord to join Him in this mm-hmm. work. He invites us to be a part. God can do anything He wants. He does not need us to help
what?
Him.
He doesn't yes, need me
he
to help.
He doesn't
him?
Need it.
Wow.
But He invites us. And that's
right.
that's an honor and a privilege of yeah. the child of the Lord.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
When we view our work, our opportunities to serve like that, that should transform the way we really think about hard work for the Lord.
That's right.
That this is a privilege and an honor that I get to join the Lord in what He's doing in the world.
No, yeah, that's good. That's good. So we've kind of touched on the answer already.
Yeah.
Our second question, describe how Paul, Silas, and Timothy demonstrated a strong work ethic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he says it all throughout.
Yeah.
He says,
yeah.
follow me is what I'm doing. And, you know, he gives the example of that he didn't expect people to feed him when he was traveling. He didn't mm-hmm. Expect people to pay him. And he said that wouldn't have been wrong for him to do right. that. But because he wants to set that extreme example of following mm-hmm. the Lord, trusting Him, living a quiet life, earning your money for
right.
to support yourself. And Paul and Timothy and Silas all set that example in the way they live their lives. And, you know, it's really a challenge to me. Am I setting that example? You know, mm-hmm. can I say, just as Paul said, in every aspect of my life, can I say, you know, follow me as I'm following Christ? Can right. I say that in my life?
I imagine, you know, that they were no different in when they were away from the church
yeah.
and they were working. And when they were at the church, they were the same.
Yes.
you
yeah.
know, there was not a different side of them in that retrospect. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that many people kind of have a double life, if you will, when it comes to how they are at work versus church. You know,
yeah.
perhaps, you know, it's because there's peer pressure at work. They struggle being a light for Christ. Maybe they get teased or... You know, they don't want to be asked questions about their faith. They're not sure how to answer it. Or perhaps there's a relationship, their relationship with Christ is not actually authentic, that they're not being a real person at church, that they're faking it. basically faking their faith while at church, and it's just a check off box. So, yeah. So you know, I know that's hard to hear, but I think it's a valid question that we all should ask ourselves.
Yeah.
Hey, if my the person that works beside me in the next cubicle saw me out on the street, would I, you know, not on the street, but, you know, yeah. shopping somewhere, yes. or what have you,
yeah.
Would they find my conduct the same as when I'm at work? And then would someone that I've met at church that they happen to enter my workplace, would they witness that I'm the same person that right. they saw at church? You know what I'm saying? I'm
yes, just, yeah.
It's a good evaluation for us it to is. Look for ourselves.
And it goes back to that reason why we should live a quiet life that pleases the Lord. And it's really to, of course, please the Lord, but be an example to other believers, mm-hmm. to demonstrate a transformed life to other believers. I love this quote from the commentary. It says, "By such responsible and peaceable living, believers adorn the gospel in the eyes of the outsiders." And I thought, that's good. Is such a good, mm-hmm. good thought, you know, that our behavior, the way we act outside of church, the way we act in normal, like everyday situations, that really does have an effect on how others outside of the church, outside of believers, see us and see mm-hmm. See the church as a whole, see Christianity. And so it really does make us aware that we need to be careful.
It goes back to that rest, yes. you know, yes. that's you know, how, yeah, the spiritual rest.
Mm-hmm.
When we can discover what that spiritual rest looks like.
Because yes.
if in your self-evaluation you discover that, well, you know what? I am a little bit different. And why that is, yeah. I would have you go back into the basics of, do you have the spiritual rest
yeah.
in Christ? Are you secure in your salvation?
Yeah.
Are there areas about God that you doubt or
yeah.
you're not sure about? That's one of the things that we're hoping that you get out of Hope-Filled Conversations, is that as we unpack the truth of the word and we talk and answer some of these questions, that it will be a part of empowering you yeah. to really start answering some of those questions. Why do I believe what I believe?
Yeah.
And when you can answer that by going yourself into the word,
yeah.
You know, we just kind of give you teasers, yeah. you know, but when you go and you do the work mm-hmm. and you discover, okay, I believe this because yeah. of this here in the scriptures and in my prayer time, when I sense that God has been speaking to my spirit and it lines up. I believe this because it transforms it.
It does.
How you are as a person in and outside of church, in yeah. and outside of work, wherever yeah. you are. It is a transforming work.
Yeah. I mean, anytime we open the Word of God, it encourages us, but it also convicts us. Yeah, so
yes.
when we read something, and I'm hoping as you do this more and more, mm-hmm. it will become natural to you. But as we read something in the Scripture, naturally there should be a question of, okay, knowing this, what do I need to do? Like, mm-hmm. what areas do I need to work on? How's the Lord working to transform me more and more like Him? How's the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit working on me to sanctify me to become more like Him? Because of what I've read. And
right.
When we allow the Holy Spirit to do that and we're receptive to that and obedient to what the Lord tells us, we're going to have that transformed life that overflows mm-hmm. into the way we act, the way we interact with people, the way we act outside of churchy things, you know, where we're at work or at home, or the way we relate to other people. All that goes hand in hand with the time we've spent with the Lord and how He's transforming us to become more and more
yeah.
like Him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to encourage all of our listening friends out there over the, I guess, the 2 months that we're not going to yeah. be publishing something new, I encourage you, don't stop listening, if you will. You can go, there's a couple things you can do. You can go back and listen to some of our conversations about a different book that
yeah.
we covered in the Word. You can, even though you've gone through Second, First and Second Thessalonians with us in this series and maybe even read alongside of us, you'd be amazed if you went back and just kind of did a fresh read through of what you have comprehended, what you have learned. And I just suspect that you're going to have some aha moments. Whoa, I didn't see that before, but I do now. Or you can go ahead and start reading the book of Exodus and get a head start. And that by the time that we start publishing that new series, you'll have your mind just kind of already marinating in the book of Exodus. And it may be even more delightful, easier to follow along too. So there's so many things. But don't take off from studying the Word, reading the Word over those 2 months.
And we want to leave you with a reflection question, but before we do that, we kind of want to give you a jumping off point because we wanted to discuss it just for a minute before we leave you with it. The reflection is, describe a situation in which the belief or the behavior of others might make you weary. What can you do about it? Reflect on today's passage in 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 18 for guidance. And I thought this is such a good question because especially in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, the verse highlights, it says, do not grow weary in doing good.
Right.
And it is so easy to grow weary in doing good, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when we don't might not see that payoff or we might not have that reward right away.
Right.
And so, yes, we often might be in a situation with another person where it feels really weary to continue on doing good in that situation. And I think it's so important as believers to remember that we can't control or change the actions of other people, but we can control how we respond and how we can trust the Lord to do what only He can do in the lives of others. So we can be active in sharing the gospel. We can be active in doing good and serving the Lord. But then there's a point where we have to trust the Lord and ask Him to do what only He can do. We can't.
Well, I think
we can't change people.
That's the point. Asking Him, and it's praying. Are you interceding for them? Are you praying for them with the right heart motives? Okay, come on now.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I think it's easy for us to become weary. But if we remember to do the things that God's told us to do, to lift them up in prayer, to be active in sharing the gospel, and then turn them over to the Lord and trust Him to do that changing work that He can only do. We can't do that in the life of a person. He can only do that. And so, but anyways, y'all will think of more as you reflect that, but we wanted to talk about that a little bit before.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, goodbye, Second Thessalonians. It was so good. We'll see you again. And we're excited. Y'all join us for Exodus. It's going to be a really, really special study, and we're excited to jump back in September.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Would you mind closing us
up? I will. Lord, thank you so much for your word, for the way that you encourage us and the way you convict us, the way you transform our hearts and our lives. Thank you so much for that. And I pray that we will continue to grow in our relationship with you as we open up your word. And I pray that you'll use it to transform our hearts and our minds to become more and more like you so that we can not grow weary in doing good, but that we'll just continue to live lives that honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Hope-Filled Conversations. If today's episode was helpful to you, we hope you will subscribe, share it with a friend, and rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to contact Jody or Carolyn, email them at hfc@eaglewoodbaptist.com.